Today, Terry Marista, Yud Gimel Tishri Tafim Pehe, Rav Shmuel Schwartz.
Roll down. Yeah,
it's good. It's all good. It's all good. When I do it inside, Okay, good morning, thank you for having me. The story goes like this. Tell a story. There was a boy, son, Moshe Chaim was his name. So this young boy was growing up, grew up as a teenager, and unfortunately things didn't go exactly the way they should, and he turned out to be a very challenging young lad. And the relationship between him and his parents wasn't great. When he was about 17, 18, things got very rough. And after a big, big argument, unfortunately, with his parents, he stormed out. A lot of damage was done. A lot of damage was done to the house, actually, before he left. But he was gone. At the age 18, he was gone. He joined the street gang, people living on the street, and he kept far away from his parents. Years went past, and it was on a Friday night that he suddenly, memories came back of the times, the special times of maybe his younger years, and he made a decision that he has to make a change, and he has to go back. And to be honest, he didn't even know how, what, when. He knew where his parents lived, but he didn't know if they would even want to see him or it's even a possibility at all. But he made the decision when he heard the following. He met somebody from the old people living there, who his youth. And the guy made a comment to him, "You should know, ever since you left home, your parents have never locked the door at night. They never locked the door. There's always a chance you're going to come back. The door's never been locked. At night time, they don't lock the door. Should it be that you'd want to return, you've got the key, you can get in. They don't double lock the door." When he heard that, he knew that, you know, there's something which I can do to make change. And it was on a Friday night when he turned up in his old, where he lived, his old shchunah, his old area, and he knocks on the door. His parents, his father opens the door. Can't believe he's standing there. And believe it or not, yeah, at that moment it was like a moment of uncomfortable. And then he fell into his father's arms and they hugged each other. His father said, "Come inside." Didn't look great, to be honest with you. He didn't look exactly like a regular Yiddish Abucha, but he brought him in. And his father said to him, he said, "Dad, I need to talk to you." And his father said to him, "Listen, we can't speak now. It's Shabbos Kodesh. You know something? Stay with us for Shabbos. Be here for Shabbos. And we'll talk after Shabbos." So, okay, so he stays there for Shabbos, and they're sitting there, and they had so the Shabbos, Lil Shabbos, very special, just back as if nothing's happened, a bit like surreal. But there was definitely what you'd call the elephant in the room, that we haven't dealt with the issues, and something's uncomfortable over here. It comes eventually Motzei Shabbos, and the father says to him, "Okay, we need to talk." Or he says to the father, "We need to talk." So they sit down in the dining room, uncomfortable, very uncomfortable. They went through what had happened, and specifically the damage done to the house. There was a lot of money, a lot of damage done to the house before he left. And the father requested of the son, he says, I need you to make a plan, a payment plan, of how you think you're going to pay for the damage done to the house. And it came a lot, also it might be £5,000 or something. And the boy said, listen, I've got a job now, I've settled down. I'm going to pay you on a weekly basis, whatever it is, £50, £100 a week, until I've paid the thing back. Okay, right, fine, fantastic. Diwali's staying at home, and he gets cracking with, he's got his job, and things seem to work in the correct way. It was the next Monday when the first direct debit went out of their account, and the first payment of this lump sum went out. And the payment goes out, and it goes from his account to his father's account towards the big damage done. Once the payment has gone out, his father calls him, he says, listen, he says, Moshe Chaim, I can't believe, you know, I've got such honor, I've got such respect for you, that you actually started the process of paying back. He says, you know what, you know something, you made the first payment, but forget the rest, it's all over. Don't worry, we've sorted it, you showed that you're serious about paying back the money, just don't worry about it, it's fine. It's fine. They hugged again, and then they yeah, that was it, finished. Then they had a Shabbos. The Shabbos after that was a very, very special Shabbos. It was a Shabbos without any uncomfortable situation in the air. It was completely a very different type of Shabbos, which was just a Shabbos of them being together in a very special way. And he felt very strongly that they'd connected in a very intimate way. And Shabbos was, like I say, Shabbos was a very special Shabbos. After Shabbos, after they had a very special Shabbos together, he just sees his father in a whole different type of light. He even says to his father in the conversation, he says, you know, to be honest with you, Dad, you know, I never realized what a good person you are, what a special person you are, what an exceptional person you are. And I actually feel like guilty, you know, that we ever had this whole thing to begin with. I didn't, obviously, when I was younger, didn't understand you, didn't get you, didn't appreciate who you were as a person. And it's just a tragic sort of fallout that this is a situation. So I was saying, don't worry about it, it'll be okay, it'll be alright, we've worked it out. Very, very intimate, very close kesher between the father and the son. To the extent that even things he never dreamt his father would give him, things that are like completely, you know, he always wanted, I don't know, a type of watch or whatever it was, that's, he never dreamt he'd ever get that from his father. His father comes along and says, listen, Moshe Chaim, you're being such a tzaddik, I'm so touched, we've come together, we've worked this out, I've reconciled here, a very special watch. And he says, listen, you stay here, you can stay here as long as you like. Time went by, and it seems that the son, you know, still had to find his own place, he had to live in his own house, it wasn't great to live on top of the father. So he said, listen, I'm going to have to move out. Not because there's nothing in the wrong relationship, it's time to move on. The father was a bit, the father was upset. Listen, I'd love you to stay. He says, you know what, before you move out, let's do a trip, just myself and you. And the father and son went away together. They went to Venice for 2 days, and they had the most amazing time, just the father and the son together. After that, the son moved out, and thank God they lived happily ever after. So that's the story, and with that, I'll wish you a good day. What am I sharing with you? What am I telling you this story? So the story begins around Tisha B'Av time. Tisha B'Av is a time when we've left home a while ago, and we look back on the Tisha B'Av is an understanding that you see, you look at yourself and you say, hey, something's not great. I'm not in a great place. I'm very far away from where I'm supposed to be. That's the idea of what Tisha B'Av is. Tisha B'Av is a time when a person realizes that I'm way off from where I'm supposed to be. I've left home. I've damaged stuff. Proof being that if it would be the, not the case, then the Beis Hamikdash will be with us again. So it's clear that I've not done what's right. I've not done what's correct. But then you don't have the courage to be able to go back and start, maybe I can do something about this. After that you have the Shiva de Nechemta, the 7 weeks of Nechama. Nechama stands for the concept, the Rebbe Shem says, I know that you can make this work. The door's never closed, and you can do something about making a change. And through Elul, you try and get the courage to be able to walk back and come back and see the Rebbe Shem again. Rosh Hashanah is a day, you turn up on the door, Rebbe Shem, I'm here. And the Rebbe Shem takes you in, Rebbe Shem welcomes us in, and we want to start talking about the history. Let's deal with the sins, let's deal with the baggage, The Rebbeinu Shlomo says, no, nothing to talk about during Rosh Hashanah. Let's talk about that after Shabbos. Let's talk about that after Rosh Hashanah. Aseres Yemei Teshuva is the time when we focus on what's gone wrong, what we need to do to sort out the damage that's taken place. That's the time of Aseres Yemei Teshuva, uncomfortable conversation, uncomfortable time. It takes the maturity to approach it in the correct way. And then you make a payment plan. You say to the Rebbeinu Shlomo, I've got to deal with the issues and I'll make a payment plan. And you make a payment plan. And what happens is, this is what we're told just 2 days ago, when the Rebbeinu Shlomo sees you make that first payment, that shows the first genuine want to actually correct the damage that's done, then he says, you know something, Tshuva, Yom Kippur states Mechapa even without Tshuva, and we pass on that Rebbe. So it seems that, you know, once you've done your bit, and you've done your small area of correction, you've dealt with the damage, and the Rebbeinu says, you know what, forget the rest of it. At that point, that's the time when we find ourselves exactly now, is when you realize that the Rebbeinu Shlomo has said, forget the damage, you've sorted it, we've reconciled, and there's a tremendous embrace, a tremendous, tremendous closeness that comes between the Father and the Son, between the Rebbeinu Shlomo and ourselves. We're entering the second Shabbos now. It's not the first Shabbos of Rosh Hashanah when he turned up. It's the second Shabbos now. A Shabbos of very, 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 very intimate closeness when all the history is gone. Now the Sfarim talk about the concept of Tshuva Me'ava beginning now. The concept of Tshuva from Ava. Over till Yom Kippur is a Tshuva Me'ira. We're worried about the damage or Chas V'Shalom what's coming in the year to come. But then there's a concept of Tshuva Me'ava, Tshuva from love, the Rebbeinu Shlomo. Tshuva Me'ava means, I'm not repenting because I'm scared what you're going to do to me. I'm coming back to you, the Rebbeinu Shlomo, because I want to have a connection with you. And that's the time when the son turns around to the father and he says, you know something? I don't know how I got into this to begin with. You're such a special person. You care so much for me. How did I get myself into this mess? That is Tshuva Me'ava. It's when we feel this tremendous closeness to the Rebbeinu Shlomo and we say, how do we even go down that bad road or that negative place or the wrong way? Which meant that we had this fallout kavyocha with the Rebbeinu Shlomo. And then begins this process of a whole different type of regret that comes from a very deep place of, not fear of repercussion, but a regret that wants connection, a regret that, you know something, why did I do what I did? And the Rebbeinu Shlomo gives us things during this time. You know, everyone thinks, you know, it's come the end of the davening thing, Yom Kippur's over, no more davening. It's actually just opened up in as much as, that till now, you never dreamt of asking your father for things that, you know, were extras, you know? You were lucky, you were so grateful, you managed to have, thank God, you got your panosa just about, you got your health. But to ask for things that are extras, you know, now's the time. The kesh is so strong, we've reconciled after so many years, so to speak, so much time of disengagement. Now's the time a person can turn to the Rebbeinu Shlomo and say, you know something, that's what Anani HaKavod are. Anani HaKavod are the commemorating, not the mon or the be'er, which are seen as essentials. You know, the mon is a person has to eat, and the water is a person has to drink. But the commemoration of Sukkot and Anani HaKavod, Anani HaKavod were extras. They were there to encompass Klal Yisrael from all sides, to protect them from the elements, to look after their, to give them the, wash their clothes, etc., etc. It was all, and was considered to be moisturous, it's all luxury. And the idea of Sukkot is, it's a commemoration of the luxury the Rebbeinu Shlomo has given us, and it's a time for a person to be able to turn to the Rebbeinu Shlomo and say, hey, I know I've asked for basics, is there anything more I can ask for? And that's the time that Rebbeinu Shlomo, in his tremendous feeling of connection to us, is willing to do that. But there's going to come a time when we're going to have to leave. Leave means we're going to have to be independent once again. Leave the house of the Rebbeinu Shlomo, leave the sukkah. And before that, that's when we come, ultimately we're heading for Shmini Atzeres, that special intimate time. The Rebbeinu Shlomo says, before you go, let's just have some private time together. Let's have a road trip, just father and son. The rest of the family can stay behind. Just a very intimate, special time in the building of this relationship with the Rebbeinu Shlomo. Now, I'm sharing with you a moshel, I'm sharing with you a nimshel, but the truth is these ideas are based famously on the words of the Gaon. The famous Gaon, the Gaon explains in Shir HaShirim. To answer the question of the Tor, why is Sukkot deliberately set in Tishri? If Sukkot is because of Sukkot HaShavtis B'nei Yisrael, B'seisum and Mitzrayim, surely the time to commemorate the celebration of Sukkot should be specifically in Nisan. The Tor answers because we want to make a clarity that we're doing it for the Rebbeinu Shlomo. In the winter, you're not going out to your outhouse. But what I want to, but what the Gaon says though, he says that the idea of what we commemorate Ananiah covered on Tesvav Tishri isn't the Ananiah covered from the beginning. It's the Ananiah covered on the return. When Klal Yisrael sinned in the Egel, the Ananiah covered went away. On the day after Yom Kippurim, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up and he brought Klal Yisrael together to start Nidvas HaMishkan, he makes a cheshbon on Tesvav Tishri is when the Ananiah covered came back. The Ananiah covered came back after a time when they were not there, they returned. This is not commemorating the concept of a father and son having a relationship. It's after the reconciled, having had time in between when things weren't great. It's the return of the Ananiah covered. In the Daik, a very beautiful Diak, that it says that, Leman Yedu Dir Sechen Kibasukhus Eshavtis B'nei Yisrael, V'Seisim Mitzrayim, something similar to that, those words. So it seems to be the Ananiah covered is not Ananiah covered for the return. It's the Ananiah covered from the original, when they came out of Mitzrayim. So why is it correct to say we commemorated the Ananiah covered of the Ananiah covered's return? So the Pshat Yadav from Lee Whitley, Samarit Gazach, it's to show that there's no difference whatsoever between the presence of the Ananiah covered after Avera and the return than they were Lechatzchila. And this is a superhuman thing. This is something which a human being can't imagine. Even if you've had a fight with somebody and you managed to work it out, hopefully, right? There's always going to be some element of what you'd say, Kabdeu v'chashdeu, or some element of lack of trust between the two parties. When it comes to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Ananiah covered of now is the exact Ananiah covered of original. There's nothing that's changed at all. B'tzias Yisrael Mitzrayim, it's exactly the same. Nothing's changed. For that reason, they say, "Al pi the Gaon, why noshim aren't mechuyev, women aren't mechuyev in sukkah, because it's the return after the sin of the eagle. The women didn't do the avera of the eagle." But it's in many other ways as well. This idea is shown. Mefarshim say the lulav, for example, is taken in the right hand. Now the lulav isn't the top man. The lulav is the fellow who's not the tzaddik who's got tam and reyach. The lulav doesn't have tam and reyach, right? So he's not the tzaddik. But nevertheless, the lulav is taken in the right hand, and the esrog, which is the tzaddik, yesh tam v'reach, is taken in the left. To show that when a lulav has come and done tshuva, b'mokim sheh bali tshuva oimdim, ein tzaddikin gemurim oimdim, who actually given precedence now to the lulav as being in a position of respect in the right hand, because it seems the lulav has done tshuva. The Rabbeinu Bechaya writes that the shape of the sukkah, according to the Gemara in the Sukkah Zayin, is two walls and a bit. The Rebbeinu Bechaya learns, I mean the Gemara brings, that the way of putting the sukkah, one of the methods of putting the sukkah, is you put the tefach slightly away from the wall. From the wall, you have this angle, and you put the sukkah, the tefach slightly away. That actually looks like a hay. And he says, the hay is symbolic of the idea of well, the Gemara says that the Rebbeinu Shem created this world with a hay. Because the symbolism of the hay is that it's open at the bottom, so you can fall through. But when a person does tshuva, what happens is he goes through, but he doesn't come up the same hole, because you can't. You can't go the same direction. You've got to make a change, you've got to make a geder. The way to return is up the side, and into the hole at the side, with a geder, with a boundary before you get in. But ultimately the position is, you find yourself higher up in the hay. And that's what Baal Tshuva happens to Baal Tshuva. Now the sukkah symbolizes this idea. Now that you've come back, the embrace of the Rebbeinu Shem to us means there's even a greater level of closeness. One of the beautiful ideas from Chaim Vital, as he says that his way of expressing this idea is the posting she'ashinim yemini tchabkeni, which means your right hand hugs me. The other simple way of having the sukkah is two walls and a tefach, with the tefach next to the two walls. And he says that's like the arm. You have a one part, one solid part, one regular size, and then the tefach of the hand, which is actually the hug, which is the Rebbeinu Shel Olam embracing Klal Yisrael, Yemini Techag Pein. So this is a very fundamental idea. I mean, I heard from Rebbeitzvitz once, he said that in Simchas Beis HaSheva, what's the simcha of the Simchas Beis HaSheva? The simcha of the Simchas Beis HaSheva is the pouring of the mayim, nisuch hamayim, right? So if you look at the history, what's the big simcha? So we're told, what's the history of nisuch hamayim? What happened was, the Medrash says that when the Rebbeinu Shem split the Mayim Elyonim, the Mayim Tachtonim were sad that they've lost their connection with the Rebbeinu Shem. So the way the Rebbeinu Shem sort of appeased them was, he said that there's going to be a time, there'll be a mitzvah you'll do, which is a mitzvah of Nischa Mayim, where they pour the water on the Mizbeach on Sukkot. So in depth, the concept of the Nischa Mayim, the Simcha of the Mayim, is the Mayim was moved away from the Rebbeinu Shem. And the simcha is that they're now coming back, which is really the concept in the same idea was happening to us. We were moved away, we were away from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it's the simcha of the return. So the Nisach HaMayim sort of encapsulates the whole concept was going on with us as Yidden, that we were far away, and it's the celebration of return. That's what the concept of Simchas Beis Sha'in stands for. I once heard from Rabbi Shlomo Kerr, he said a very nice idea, according to this Gaon, what's the idea of Simchas Torah coming afterwards? He said a very nice idea, he said the following. He says, you know, the Medrash says, why did Rabbi Shlomo create a Mishkan? So it's a mashal to a king who had a daughter, and this daughter's a very special girl, etc., etc. And what happens in the end is basically she gets married. And when she gets married, she has to move away to live with her husband. And he's very sad. The king's very sad. When am I going to have this connection to my daughter? So he says, don't worry about it. Make for me a little room in your house that I can come and visit when I want to come and visit. So that's what happens. The Mishkan is the concept. The Torah is the daughter of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, make for me a place where I can return and I can have some time with my daughter. So, what happens is, so he says a beautiful idea. He said this is, he said that, imagine if the Klal Yisrael fall out with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Like we said, there's been a fallout between the father-in-law, the son-in-law. So, what happens is, the Ribbono Shel Olam moves away. The Ribbono Shel Olam left, the Ribbono Shel Olam goes. The Ananya Kavod went. So you have to imagine there's going to be a strain on the relationship between the husband and the wife if the husband's driven away the father. If the husband's driven away her father, there's not going to be a great vibe between the husband and wife if the husband's mistreated his wife's father. So once the husband and the father-in-law make up, there's not just an improvement in the relationship between the husband and the father-in-law, there's suddenly an improvement between the relationship between the husband and the wife. The Shalom Bayis has gone up a notch. That celebration of the Shalom Bayis is Simchas Torah. After the Sukkos of us making up with the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Shechina coming back, and the Ribbono Shel Olam being Kaviyochel in Shem Hashem's Chalal the Sukkah, the next stage is the Simcha of Simchas Torah, which is the Simcha of the husband and wife who have now reconciled as well as a result of the father coming back. So this is the concept which is the time we hold ourselves. It's a trend. This is how they explain the idea of the simcha, the tremendous joy of the time we find ourselves in, is this joy of being reaccepted, reconnecting with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And it's a time. So the main point which is maybe to take up for this idea is that we always think that the run-up is till Yom Kippur. Once you reach Yom Kippur and the Ila, then it's all over. And now's the Shaar Shemaim are closed, it seems, and there's no room anymore for further development. But what is important to remember is, we've never been so favoured, or appreciated, or cared for, like we've always cared for by the Ribbono Shel Olam, but our relationship has never been as good as it is now. And Rishon Cheshbon Avonis means that we haven't yet actually got stuck into any serious averus yet to destroy the relationship again. So it's a tremendous opportunity now that, you know, there's things that maybe over Yom Kippur you felt didn't get through or you didn't damn enough for. It's not all over, of course you have to have Shana Rabbah anyway. But there's definitely reason now for a person to say, to turn to the Ribbono Shel Olam for things that maybe till now he hasn't or he thought were unnecessary. It's a tremendous opportunity to daven, and although it's Yom Kippur's finished, by no means does that mean that a person has finished the opportunity to connect and to ask the Ribbono Shel Olam. And who knows, there could be things that a person wasn't zeicha to before Yom Kippur, halavai can still be zeicha before Hashanah Rabbah and thereafter. I just want to share with you another idea, which this is one idea of the connection between Sukkos and Yom Kippurim. It's the reconciliation of Klal Yisrael with the Ribbono Shel Olam. I want to share with you another idea which comes to mind, again, to understand the connection between Sukkos and Yom Kippur. So this boy was a spoiled boy, had a great relationship with his father, but he was spoiled rotten. And when he turned 17, as some fathers do, this father bought his son a car at 17. He had the car ready before he'd passed his test, Kiminag Ashirim. So the car's waiting in the drive, he just has to go through his test, right? So he goes through his test, somehow or other, some miracle, yeah, he passed his test first time. Why? We don't know. Maybe he drugged the test man, I don't know. But he got through the test, he's got his car. At that point, at 17, this father pays the £4,000 to get his kid insurance at 17 years old, and he's got his car, he's got his little car, and he's whipping around the streets. And it doesn't take long for him just to damage the car. The car got damaged very quickly. He needed petrol on petrol. It's going from banging at this one. I don't know if it was so too terrible. I don't know if anything Gassachon was too terrible a crash, but with other people. But he managed to batter the car, driving it too fast. He can't imagine. The kid said, a month or two later, the car's battered up, and it's not even it's not even starting. Of course, Chaverim, they can't do anything with this. Chaverim have blocked his number, he keeps calling Chaverim. It's finished, the car's gone. So this boy comes to his father, he says, "Dad, you know, I've messed the car up, the car's not working anymore." And understandably, the father maybe doesn't realize the mistake he made, but his father's not too happy, not great, not too happy. So he says to his son, he says, "Listen, let me think about it." He takes some time out, he says, "You know what, I'm willing to give you another try. Yeah, but I'm telling you, I'm going to get you another car, I'm going to have this car fixed up, but this is your last chance. You've got to look after this car, literally take care of it, just drive like a mensch, look after the exterior, interior. You've got to look after this car, this is your last chance." The boy realizes that now he's learned from his mistake, he's something's got to change. And the dad says to him, "Listen, you should know something, I've got one request. You know, part of you taking care of the car means that you don't leave the car on the street. Yeah, we've got a garage, there's room for two cars in the garage. I want you to make sure you keep the car in the garage, protect it from the elements, wash it, clean it, make sure it's taken care of, right? This is, you know, in the Goshen world, the cars came, Chayeni Vayichemeni, it's everything, I want you to look after it. This is the, you're talking about Goshen people, this has to be looked after." And the boy understands it and takes it seriously. So, V'derech Efshar, excuse the Nimshal, yeah? We take our bodies, we take our person, we take our car, and we run the whole year, you know, we've done the crazy stuff with the body, damaged it, unfortunately, with our various that we've done. The Baruch Hashem says, "I'm looking for you, I've cleaned you up, I've given you Yom Kippur, you're now a different person, I'm asking you the favor, please take care of your body, take care of your car. Now, the best place to protect your car is make sure you put it in the garage and it's protected from the elements. I always say, the sukkah is the garage. The sukkah is the garage where you keep your car. Shem Hashem's challah sukkah, which means there's a special kedusha in the sukkah. The Baruch Hashem says, the first thing I want, if I'm giving you this refreshed version of the new car, the new body, which is clean from Avera, keep it in a place with the Shem Hashem challah sukkah. It's a spiritual safe place. A spiritual safe place where it's showing that you're caring and taking care. The tzura of the mitzvah of sukkah is that purpose. It's the purpose of retaining. Of retaining the state of your body, yeah? The famous Dubna Magid, the Magid says that, why is everyone crying in the Ila? Everyone's crying in the Ila. What's all the crying in the Ila? So he says, the Moshe is, there's a famous story, I'm finished with this, yeah? We've got 1 minute to go. The famous story is that his father-in-law, his daughter, Vashtetzach, king, who has a son, daughter, marries a fella. This time he didn't have a house there, didn't have a room there like the Medrash, but his daughter went to live far away with her new husband. Father misses the daughter, and it seems alongside the husband was mistreating the daughter as well. So Vinishvi, at one point the father says, "I have to come visit you." He comes all the way to visit his daughter, and you know what? As son-in-laws do, when the father-in-law's in the house, he started behaving with his wife in an exceptionally nice way. He looked after, cared for, etc. And there comes a time towards when he's going, and the poor girl starts crying. And the father says to this little girl, his daughter, his precious, "Why are you crying, my precious daughter? Why are you crying?" And she says, "Because, you know, it's all been whatever's been, yeah? But as soon as you've gone, it's all going to change." So the father says, "You know what? I've got a different idea. You come to me. You come and stay with me. And when you come and stay with me, if you come to my place, by definition, he's going to have to continue his good behavior and not mistreat you." So the ne'ila is when the guf feels now, you know, he's been treated very well by the neshama over Elul Yom Nerayim. That says mitshuva Yom Kippur. Now that Yom Kippur's over, the body's going to start abusing the neshama again. So the Baruch Hashem says, come back to me. Bring your guf to me. Come and move with me. If you're by me, don't worry. The guf will behave in the correct way. That's the idea of coming into the sukkah. Shem Hashem's challah the sukkah is a place to make sure that we retain high-level quality behavior. It's a way, if you put it in the garage, if you keep the car in the garage, take care of the frame, take care of the bodywork, take care of all of it, it means Hashem will be able to hold on to his tremendous level and utilize the opportunity to be able to connect to the Rebbeinu Shlom, and it means Hashem will be zecher to Yimala Hashem kol mishas libeinu l'toiva. Thank you. Thank you. I'm not waiting. He went straight away. I didn't.